Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time. If you need to reach me for any reason, you can send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about the subject of sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." What does this word sound mean? Well, it means, according to dictionary.com, having no defect as to truth. You talk about maybe a board that you might want to use to build something with. Before you use that board to build something with, you want to make sure that the board is sound, that it's not rotten, that it doesn't have defects in it. It's the same thing with our doctrine. We want to make sure that it's sound. The Bible talks about sound doctrine, meaning without defect. It's not rotten. It's the truth. Most believers think the details of what we believe don't matter, that all that matters is if you believe in Jesus. They reason that since preachers teach different things or different doctrines, it must not matter to God. But if, quote, sound doctrine means having no defect, then all the churches teaching different things, they must not be teaching sound doctrine, as there must be lots of defects in what they teach if they're teaching different things. If you have a Bible question or a comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 reads, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." Notice even way back then, the Bible talks about now when people will heap to themselves Bible teachers so they can be taught what they want to hear instead of the truths that they need. That's what a lot of Bible teachers do. They teach what their audience wants to hear, what they want to hear instead of what they need. That's not teaching sound doctrine. Sharon from Missouri, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my question. I appreciate you and everything that you've stood for and brought the Word of God alive to us. So I thank you so much for that. I have a question about, it says in the Word that Jesus will come down in the clouds. He'll rapture his children up, we'll be with him, and then there's a time frame where we don't know what's to happen. Will we be going up to heaven with him? We'll be trained for so long, and then we'll come down again with him, and when he steps on the Mount of Olives, we'll be with him for Armageddon. I'm kind of confused how that whole time frame works.
Hey, Sharon, that's a very good question. There's a lot of fiction out there about the second coming of Christ and the end times, possibly because it's so sensational. Preachers and Bible teachers can get people's attention by teaching sensational things, but those things are not necessarily the truth. Now, this word rapture is basically the Latin word that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, I'm going to read verse 16 and 7 to you. It says in 4. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's our word rapture right there. It means caught up. "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, the first part of what you described, Sharon, was correct. Jesus is going to come back. We're going to be caught up together with him in the air. But this last phrase in verse 17 says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we're not going to come back. We're not going to have the second coming of Christ and the rapture, be caught up to heaven, and then come back to earth. That part is fiction. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me read for you 2 Peter chapter 3. We're still talking about the second coming of Christ or the day of the Lord. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So Sharon, according to that text, and that's God's text, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? We're all going to be caught up or raptured with him and meet him in the air. But what's going to happen to the earth, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 10?
So you're saying you believe that it's going to be a split second. I guess I'm curious about, it must be like the 7-year tribulation, where it sits, where you're saying that we'll be with him forever. And then there is a time where it says that he will come down and touch the Mount of Olives, and then Armageddon.
No, all of that is fiction, Sharon. What's going to happen, according to these two passages and other passages, the Lord, when he comes back the second time, we're going to be caught up together, go to heaven with him, and then that's going to be the end of the world, the end of the earth. That's it. That's everything. The second coming of Christ ends everything. There is no 1,000-year reign after that. There's no Armageddon after that. The second coming of Christ ends everything. We're caught up together to meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, and then the earth is going to be burned up, and that's the end of time as far as earth is concerned. Then everybody's going to be with Christ in heaven, or in hell with the devil. Does all that make sense, Sharon?
Right. I thought for sure I read something in the where the armies of Christ will be coming into, and it will be visible during Armageddon.
And
that's probably not what I read in the scripture then.
No, that's probably what some preacher said in order, because it's very sensational. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, that when Jesus comes back, that's going to be the end of the world. Sharon, we thank you for your call. We appreciate
thank
it. It's a good question.
I appreciate you. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good evening.
You too.
So we're talking about sound doctrine, and that's one thing that would not be sound doctrine. To teach that when Jesus comes back, he's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years, that's not sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is when Jesus comes back, the earth's going to be burned up. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation does talk about the 1,000-year reign, but we're in that 1,000-year reign right now. Jesus is the king right now. The kingdom is not to come later after Jesus comes the second time. We're in the kingdom right now. Let me show you a simple passage to help you see that. Mark 9, verse 1, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." So what Jesus is saying to his audience while he was speaking, while he was there the first time, on earth the first time, he said, some of you will still be alive when the kingdom comes. So if that kingdom hadn't come yet, I mean, almost 2,000 years later, that would mean there were some people on this earth that are almost 2,000 years old. Now, Jesus was saying that the kingdom was to come during the lifetime of some of those that were in his audience at that time. And indeed, if you look at a passage like Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the kingdom was to start not after the second coming of Christ, but the kingdom was to start at the resurrection of Christ. I'm reading Acts chapter 2, verse 30. It says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ." So Christ began sitting on the throne. He became the king of the kingdom at his resurrection. That's when the kingdom started. Not at the second coming of Christ, but 2,000 years before. Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead. Jacques from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was thinking about something, about us, you know, all of us going to heaven. Now, we are going to have, you know, eternal life. And I'm sure you believe that, you know, I mean.
Right. Yes, sir, I do. Go ahead with the question if you don't mind. Love you, buddy.
Okay. Now, it is going to be up to us to keep that eternal life, just like it was up to Adam to keep his eternal life. Now, the Bible teaches that people that are in heaven will not have to worry about that. So I guess what I'm saying is, if we do something wrong, you know, after we have our eternal life, what happened to Adam will happen to us. So
once we get to heaven, I don't think there's going to be a devil there to tempt us, and therefore there's not going to be any sin in heaven. So once the Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13. So once we're dead, then if we are a faithful Christian, once we die, then our fate will be sealed forever in heaven. We don't have to worry about losing our place in heaven after that. Does that make sense?
Not quite. Because after hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Keep going.
Because after Jesus' reign, you know, of a thousand years, some of us will perish. You know, some of us that were saved, you know, will be fooled by the devil, which means that the devil, the same thing that he did to Adam, he'll be able to do it to us. You know, he'll be able to, he will tempt us. So that's what I say, it's going to be up to us to keep that eternal life. And some people would not have to, what you said before, some of us will not have to worry about that, you know, because we'll be sealed. So it shows you, but it tells you about two groups. One that will be sealed, which will not have to worry about, you know, sinning. And the second group is going to be up to the second group to keep that eternal life.
And so really what's going on here is that this, what Jacques is talking about is going on now in this life, where Satan can still tempt us. This idea that once saved, always true, that's just wrong. That's not sound doctrine. We can become a Christian, but we can lose our salvation. But once we get to heaven, we'll not be able to lose our salvation then. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no sin. After Jesus comes back, that's the way it's going to be. Salon from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was listening to your program, and it said you was talking about the resurrection is when the kingdom started. I was wondering what happened to the souls of the people that died before the resurrection. Does the Bible say anything about that?
Well, the Bible teaches that everybody is going to be judged based upon God's law. And so it wouldn't really matter if you died before or after the resurrection of Christ. That happened almost 2,000 years ago. You're still going to be judged based upon 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I'll just read it to you. This applies to everybody. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So everybody's going to be judged just like that, regardless of whether they died before Jesus was raised or afterwards. Follow me?
Yes, sir. Got you.
So it's up to us. Jesus did his part. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid for our sins. Everybody. But it's up to us. I like the song, Trust and Obey. It's up to us. We have to trust and obey Jesus in order to take advantage of his death, of his blood. You agreed, Salon?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So we're talking about sound doctrine. And we can read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So not only must we have sound doctrine, it is important that we use it to correct false doctrine. That's like we try to do on this program. Any question, why, Pat, do people like you, and I'm not the only one, do people like you always trying to use the Bible to correct false doctrine? Because of passages like this. that we're to use sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's what God commands us to do. So when people use God's word to point out what the truth is and to point out false doctrine, they're doing exactly what the Bible tells them to do. Matthew 15 verse 9 says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see how teaching the wrong doctrine will result in our worship being vain? We certainly can't serve God acceptably like that, can we? So teaching the commandments of men would not be teaching sound doctrine, would it? Steve from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm making funeral arrangements and wonder if there's anything biblically that says cremation is good or bad.
I guess I'm going to just have to answer, I don't know, Steve. I haven't studied that topic enough to know the answer to that. Okay?
I appreciate even giving me that. So I think that I will do cremation.
Thank you for your call, Steve.
Thank you.
Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Another passage that comes to my mind that tells us, or shows us how important doctrine is, that we have sound doctrine, is 2 John verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." So according to this, if we're not staying inside the teaching or doctrine of Christ, then we're obviously not staying inside sound doctrine. We're not going to be saved, are we? Because it says if we don't abide in that doctrine, that sound doctrine, we don't have God. We can't be saved. Phil from Michigan, well, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I have a question about the 1,000-year millennium. I once heard a preacher man say, "If the plain sense makes sense, don't take it any other way unless you turn it into nonsense." You said earlier that we're in the 1,000-year millennium right now. How long is the 1,000-year millennium? How many years?
Well, 1,000 years, almost without fail in the Bible, represents a long period of time. And the book of Revelation is written in figures. So it's not meant to be literal. There's hardly anything literal in the book of Revelation. So it just as many places in the Bible, there in Revelation where it says 1,000 years, it represents a very long period of time. So the 1,000-year reign started, according to Acts 2, verse 30 and 31, when Jesus was raised from the dead, and we've been in it almost 2,000 years, and it could go on for another 1,000,000 years. Who knows? The Bible never tells us when Jesus is coming back. And so we're talking about sound doctrine, and I was going to mention infant baptism. In Acts 8, 35 through 37, we read, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when the eunuch said, I want to be baptized, Philip said, If you believe, you may. Which rules out infant baptism. I wanted to bring up infant baptism as an example of something that's not sound doctrine. A lot of churches teach and practice infant baptism. But infant baptism, that's not practicing sound doctrine. Another example of unsound doctrine is the belief and the practice of women preachers. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 reads, Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, there's nothing vague about that passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. It and other verses are crystal clear that women should not be doing the teaching in the church assembly. Yet, my guess is about 75% of Christian type congregations allow women to speak from their pulpit. My question is, have we lost sight of the fact that the Bible should be the guidebook for churches? To allow women to preach from the pulpit, is that sound doctrine? So, you see, there's a lot of examples of churches and preachers teaching and standing for things that are not sound doctrine. We just brought up a couple of examples. Infant baptism, that's not sound doctrine. Women preachers, that's not sound doctrine. Yet, a lot of churches practice infant baptism. A lot of churches allow women to preach from the pulpit. They're not practicing sound doctrine. Remember, sound doctrine means doctrine without defect. We are required, our doctrine is required to be without defect. It's required to be sound. Keith from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. You was talking about the rapture, and I want to know, is the tribulation going to come before the rapture or after the rapture?
The concept I believe you're talking about was made up by preachers who were trying to preach something very sensational. What we read about is when Jesus comes back, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the earth is going to be burned up. There's not going to be any, quote, tribulation period as the premillennialists make it out to be. Whatever tribulation is going to happen is happening right now. People who are being persecuted or have been persecuted, that's tribulation. There's no special tribulation period. The Bible teaches that when Jesus comes back, those that are Christians are going to meet him in the air and be with him ever, be with him in the air, go to heaven with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, that's the rapture. But there's not going to be a reign or a bunch of time after this rapture. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10 says that when Jesus comes back, the earth's going to be burned up. That's what's going to happen. It's as simple as that. Everything is going to end when Jesus comes back. You'll either be in heaven or in everlasting punishment. There's nothing different or more complicated than that. Those two passages teach that. We're in the kingdom right now. And what we need to do on this is teach sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. So to be saved, we must continue in sound doctrine, according to that passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So we are only to teach sound doctrine, only the truth. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, that reads, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. That verse says, to be made free from sin, we must obey the doctrine. Well, that would be sound doctrine, wouldn't it? So we have to obey sound doctrine to be saved, right? False teaching won't do it. Appreciate you listening tonight. Appreciate all the calls. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. If you want to contact me about anything through the week, BibleCrossfire@email.com, or my cell phone number is 256-682-9753. Be sure and contact me, and we can talk about any Bible topic you would like to talk about throughout the week. Be sure and listen next week at this same time, and you should study the Bible for yourself and make sure you're following sound doctrine and not the false doctrines of men.